Hello, everyone, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. My name is Kelly Price, and I am your host for this educational podcast. Have you ever been told you are obsessed with golf? Has anyone ever said to you that you own way too many pairs of golf shoes? Well, folks, this isn't obsession. In fact, it's way more than that. So let's get started. You're obsessed. Those were the words that I was told the other day as I was leaving to go play a quick 9 holes. Now, it was cold, I have to admit, and the breeze, I had a deep chill, and the sun was nowhere to be found. I had on about, I don't know, 5 or 6 layers all over me, about 3 pairs of socks, but I was going. I said, no, I'm not obsessed. I was arguing. I said, it keeps me sane and it keeps me calm. Golf keeps me happy. So of course I'm going to go. Well, I went on to play, but I pondered this label of obsessed or obsession for a few days. It got me thinking about my relationship with golf and what that means to me. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but what exactly is your relationship with golf? Well, sure, it's something that I do a lot, and it's something that I enjoy immensely, even if it frustrates the heck out of me. But obsessed? Well, then it hit me. It hit me right in the face. It hit me when I said these words when making my next hair appointment. I said, I'll take the 1 o'clock p.m. appointment because I'm playing golf that morning, and I'll be done by then. And I realized that I just based an appointment around my golf schedule. Okay, well, maybe that was a fluke. Maybe that was just a coincidence. But then I started noticing other things around me which caught my attention. For example, as many of you know, I teach at a university, and I logged on to my class to start grading. It's online. And I saw the banner image, which greets me and my students every time we log on. Well, many people will put a picture of something, you know, that has to do with the subject or just something happy or just, you know, whatever, something educational. But mine's a picture of a pristine white golf ball. And my profile picture, I kind of took a look at that, and it's this on that same class, and it's a picture of me on the golf course. And as I started thinking more about it, I post a introductory video every semester to introduce myself to my students. Well, it was filmed on my golf course. So there's golf even on my classes. And then, you know, okay, I went on from that, but then I received a text. Well, my text tone is the sound of a golf ball falling into the hole. And we all know what a wonderful and melodious sound that is. Then I received an email, and that gave me the familiar tone of a golf ball being hit. It's just this nice whack sound, this beautiful, clean whack. And I can, every time I get an email, I get to see the ball arching perfectly. And later, when I decided to check the weather, my weather app is set to the, quote, golfing outlook. Well, of course, well, one has to know if it's a hat day, a visor day, a toboggan kind of day on the golf course. So we have to know that, right? Well, it didn't stop from there. I noticed that my next grocery pickup was scheduled according to my golf schedule. And of course, some of the items in that grocery pickup were specifically for golfing, like granola bars and bananas, you know, because those are things that are easy to eat while you're walking along the fairway. And of course, I justified all this to myself, saying, well, that's just smart. That's just smart shopping right there, of course. Then it kept rolling from there. I heard myself say the following. I have a few here that I've made notes so I wouldn't forget to tell you. But I heard these words come out of my mouth. Here's one. I don't have long nails because my glove won't fit right. And I'm not a fan of the fingerless gloves. Another thing that I have said recently is, don't make me lift that heavy box. I need to be able to swing. Maybe a few of you have said that. Here's another one. that I recently said, I bought this streaming service because they show many of the LPGA events. Okay. Here's another. That's a classy looking golf towel. It will match the golf themed bathroom in my house. And lastly, as I was in the process of looking for a new car fairly recently, the words, it has to fit my clubs in the back. That was one of the criteria for this car. Obsession, well, I'm still not convinced, really. All of these things to me are just who I am. And what's so bad about that? But I knew there had to be more to this than a simple label of obsession. This had to be more complex. So my professor brain, my consumer behavior marketing brain, started going with this. But, you know, when your rationale for buying a new top or new shirt is that you can also wear it for golf, then there has to be more to the story. Well, I jumped into the literature, as professors tend to do, and I found my answer in the Journal of Leisure Research. This was a study that had a lot to do with, well, it was solely focused on golf, but the study's purpose was to understand the inner workings and the progressive nature of participation in golf. But it was more about why we play or the levels of attitude that we have towards the game. So here's what the authors proposed. They said that consumers or people in relation to golf will fall into one of four categories. And here are the categories. They have awareness of golf, an attraction to golf, an attachment to golf, or allegiance to golf. Now, in this study, they defined awareness as someone just who knows about golf. You probably know many people in this category. They may know someone who plays, but they don't engage much in it themselves. They just know what golf is. They know it's a game. The next one, as I said, was attraction. This kind of moves up a little bit. Attraction in this study was defined as someone who may say, I like golf. And this person may play for a few reasons, but they mainly because of probably physical or mental benefits of the game, you know, such as exercise and being outside, but not much more than that. It's attractive to them for the physical benefit. Then we step up to the attachment golfer. This golfer is most likely to say, I'm a golfer. And a lot of us do say that, right? It's on our Twitter profiles. It's on our Facebook page, golfer. But in other words, what the attachment golfer, according to the study, have done is they have linked their self-concept and core values to the game. So see, that gets a little bit deeper. They've made symbolic and emotional connections to playing. Okay. Then finally, in this study, allegiance. And that's the top. Allegiance is the person who most likely will say, I live to golf. These persons have highly formed and complex positive attitudes about the game and playing it. They are resistant to change, but the game, this is what is the most interesting to me, is that the game guides their behavior. Things that they do all the time. It's not just on the course. It's not just in a certain situation. It's literally how golf influences their everyday behavior. Now, a couple of side notes about this study is that it was conducted in Australia with mostly male participants, about 1,200, a little bit more. And what they did is the participants answered a survey where they answered all kinds of, or they rated all kinds of statements that were behavioral or psychological or attitudinal in nature. Let me give you some of the example statements that were on the survey. How would you answer this? If somebody said to you, rate this, it would be difficult for me to change my beliefs about playing golf. Would you think that's, yeah, for sure, or eh, not so much? Here's another example. I wear clothing related to golf. Here's another one. Golf says a lot about who I am. How would you answer that question? And another one, a last one is, a lot of my time is organized around playing golf. And of course, when I read that statement, I thought of my grocery pickup as I sit there on my app and schedule it. Well, I'm playing golf at so-and-so. Okay. Well, the results of the study showed as people, and I also should say golfers maybe, progress through the stages, these behavioral and psychological and attitudinal elements become stronger. Every time we move through stage, it just gets more and more and more and stronger, stronger, stronger. And the motivations to play increased. And there was an enduring devotion to the game that increased as well. And this is important. It may not seem, or it may seem not totally surprising, but I found it interesting that in the study they confirmed this. But hold that thought. You know, as the person or the golfer moves through the stages, they consumed more golf media and they played more and they spent more money on clothing or equipment, all those types of things. But did they drive by the course on their way home from getting food takeout just to see how the course was doing today? Not that I've done that, right? But this study certainly confirms the level of engagement people can have to golf. And think about your engagement with golf and what level would you be in? You know, it shows how self-concept and golf collide. And I think that's a fascinating thought. Self-concept is something in consumer behavior we talk about all the time that has to do with how the self-concept of how we want others to see us. Our private self-concept is just for ourselves. How do we think about ourselves? That type of thing. And this study kind of gives a clue into the golfer lifestyle. We see a lot about golfer lifestyle, and we throw demographics in there, and like income and age and all that stuff. But this goes a little bit deeper into saying, wait a minute, here are the attitudinal levels that we can analyze a little bit. The study got me thinking also, now they did not address this, but it got me thinking about when we lose players or we lose potential players, and at what stage of this process do we lose them? You know, we hear a lot about marketing and programs and whatever to, quote, grow the game. We hear it all the time, over and over. But are those marketing campaigns targeting the player in the stage in which they currently reside? So, for example, do we really need to tell the allegiance, those that I live to golf people, that golf is a great way to exercise? Well, according to this study, no, we do not need to tell them that. We need to go with something a little bit more deep, so to speak. We hear a lot how women are coming to the game in record numbers. We're seeing that statistic over and over. But we also are seeing the same statistic in the same breath that women leave in record numbers almost as quickly. Therefore, telling the awareness golfer or stager, that's the beginning one, remember, that said, I know about golf. If we're telling her the rules about golf, well, that's not going to do any good. That, you know, she hasn't even tried the game yet. She just knows about it. So what, you know, we don't need to be telling her about the rules yet. So in my opinion, we don't lose many women in those upper stages, that attraction or the allegiance stage. We're losing them a lot earlier. We're losing them before they ever say that I'm a golfer. Anyway, obsession, back to myself, and again, I want you to think a little bit about your own, is obsession really isn't the right way to describe my relationship with golf. I don't know if yours is the same or not, but I will admit I am fully and wholeheartedly in the allegiance stage. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's a bad thing. And of course, anyone who tries to figure out a way to put a small putting green in her backyard has to be in the allegiance stage, surely, right? Yeah, but it's who I am. It's maybe who you are. And it's in the essence of my being. And I'm actually quite unapologetic about it. I don't feel like that this is a problem. It's not harming anyone, to my knowledge. And it's just, it's a lifestyle, but it's more than that, as the study went into. It's a little bit more of an attitude. But it is interesting to think about the four different stages and how businesses, leadership, golf club leadership could use this information. We need to be saying the right things to the right folks on whichever stage that they are in. So anyway, again, I'm actually quite unapologetic about being in a in such an allegiance stage. I think it's totally okay. And just to, for the record, yes, the clubs do fit in my new car and there's room to spare. All right, everyone, class time is up for today. I hope that you can think of your relationship with golf in a new way. And again, those of you out there in leadership positions, maybe think about how you can relate better to your new players and to your seasoned players. You can email me at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com. And please go to talkinggolf, TalkingGolf.com for more related golf-related podcasts, and none of which will deem you obsessive if you listen to them. Thank you so much for joining me today. See you next time. And remember, always go for the flag.